We had one technical glitch today. That's that my red warning light isn't working. So that means I get to talk as long as I want. Yeah, no. Don't clap for that. I'm sure you're not going to want that. You know, one of the things I've loved doing as a priest is doing baptisms, getting to baptize particular babies to bring them into the fullness of the faith. One of the baptisms I did at the parish I was assigned, there were 11 babies to be baptized. And they were so when we started. And I remember saying, I said to the people, I can't believe how quiet it is here. And as soon as I said that, it got not so quiet. And so one of the things that we always, one of the readings that come up at baptisms most of the time is about Jesus allowing the little children to come to him, telling the apostles, don't prevent them. You must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. But then we read in St. Paul and in other places about growing up in the faith and about becoming adults in the faith and not being childish in our faith. So I thought what would be a great way for us to spend our time tonight is to think about what spiritual maturity means. What it means for you and me to be spiritually mature. And the difference between being childlike and being childish. One of the examples that came to my mind about being childish, when I was in seminary, there was a big test coming up for our class. And I remember I worked hard and put together a study guide, and I slipped it in all my classmates' mailboxes without telling them. And then later that night, I was near a few of them, and they were talking about this mysterious study. And they said, I wonder who put it there. And I just couldn't hold back. I had to go over there and say, oh, hey, guys, what are you talking about? And they said, we were talking about who put the study guide there. I said, oh, yeah, that was me. And I remember thinking as soon as I said it, how childish it was, how immature it was for me to be so anxious to receive credit for this little thing. It's very different to be childish than it is to be childlike. So I thought we would read from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and to think about this spiritual maturity. Paul says in verse 11 forward, and the gifts of the Lord were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Paul gives us an example or a teaching. He's telling the Ephesians, brand new Christians, what spiritual maturity means. And he also says what immaturity means. So let's look at what it means to be spiritually immature. He says, you're not children anymore in the faith. You're not children in the ways of hearing God and following God. Children in this way are tossed back and forth and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So one of the ways that spiritual immaturity shows up is by being pulled with every current trend going on, with every movement in the world to say, this is where my hope is, or this is where my hope. This is the final solution. This is going to give me what I really need. To be pulled into every latest fad or fashion or trend the latest idea and to put all of our stock in that. How much is our world filled with fashions and fads? Now, Pope Benedict talked about this as the dictatorship of relativism, about this very passage, that we're pulled into whatever is popular at the time, and that becomes the ultimate good. That becomes the definition of what it means for me to be happy or for me to find fulfillment. St. Paul is telling you and me, just as he's telling the Ephesians, that that is not going to last. That for you to be mature, to be grown up, to be fully alive, the full stature of what God wants you to be, you need to go way beyond that. Spiritual maturity is having a foundation much firmer than what that is. St. Paul talks about spiritual maturity, and he begins by saying, the gifts that God gives are for building up the body of Christ. So one of the first things we think about with maturity is that we're all given different gifts. Not just individual gifts, not just my wonderful singing voice, just kidding, or not just your fantastic athletic ability or your intelligence, but the gifts for building up the body of Christ, the gifts that are going to help you know what you're called to do to build up the body of Christ. We have a lot of young people here today, and we see that Paul gives these different ways. You know, some are called to be apostles, some are called to be teachers, some are called to be evangelists. There's different ways the Lord is calling each of you, and those of you who maybe are not so young, to give your life to him. Spiritual maturity begins by not measuring myself against the person next to me, against a sibling or a friend or anyone else. But it's, first of all, giving myself completely to God, knowing that he has a plan for me and that that plan is for my flourishing and for building up the body of Christ. That the gifts that have been entrusted to me are not just for me, but they're for everyone else in this church. That if you don't do what God is calling you to do, what God the Father has made you to do, our church will be poorer for that. And the way St. Paul expresses that is the fullness of Christ won't be revealed. Christ the head and Christ the body will be incomplete. So how can you and I be spiritually mature Christians? We'll look at four aspects of spiritual maturity. The first thing that a spiritually mature Christian, a grown-up Christian, does, he or she is a person of prayer. Prayer is the essential starting point for knowing God. The gospel is filled with examples of Jesus, who's the Son of God, going away to pray. If Jesus needs to go to pray, you need to go and pray. Jesus took time out of the ministry that the Father gave him of preaching the word. He went away in quiet time with the Father. So the first aspect of someone who follows the Lord, of someone who wants to be a mature Christian, is to be a man or woman of prayer. Only by praying can we come to know the Master. To be a Christian is to point to Jesus and to say, you are Lord of my life. And you want to have a relationship with me. You want me to enter into a loving relationship. So brothers and sisters, if we're going to be mature, we have to spend time with him. We have to know what he has said. We have to let him speak to our heart. When Jesus begins his public ministry, he says, repent and believe in the gospel. And the term repentance isn't about actions, actually. It's about thinking. Repent is about changing your mind. And when we change our minds, our actions follow. And we can only change our mind if we're in his presence. To pray is to bring to Jesus all of what's going on in our life. The good, the bad, the ugly, the stuff we're not proud of, the stuff we're thrilled about. To bring all of that to him and to lay it at his feet. To be men and women of prayer are people who know that Jesus is present, waiting for you, waiting for me. And he's dying for us to come and be with him. Now, in some ways, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, because you all come to awaken. But Jesus wants us to be men and women of prayer more than just once a month. To be people of prayer more than just going to Mass on Sunday. Yes, that's an essential aspect of it. But we need to be in daily relationship with him, spending time every day to be with Christ. And to go a step further, not just while we're doing other things. Not praying just while we're in the car or while we're doing something else. But carving time out of our life to say, I'm going to block everything else out to be with you, Jesus. Because I know whatever I give to you is never wasted. Whatever time or talent, whatever effort I put into my relationship with you, Lord, I know will bear fruit in every other area of my life. Most importantly, I know it'll bear fruit in my eternal life, that I'm storing up a treasure for myself in heaven, as Jesus tells us. So the first step is to be men and women of prayer. The second mark of a mature Christian are to be people who study God. There's a lot of ways to let the word of Christ, to let Jesus penetrate our intellect as well. We can join a Bible study. We can read a book. There are so many great books out there that help us to know what God wants to reveal to us, to know more fully our faith. One of the marks that St. Paul talks about in that chapter, that those verses we read, are to come to the knowledge of the Son of God. That knowledge comes through prayer, but it also comes through study. We're just 2 weeks away from beginning Advent. So I want to encourage you all to find a book, a spiritual book to read during Advent. If you're young, one of the best things we can read about is The Theology of the Body. Mary Healy has a great book called Men and Women Are from Eden. And it's a great way for us to know God's plan for human sexuality. That God's got a plan so much better than what the world tries to offer us. That God's plan is going to make us so much happier. Because God made us and knows what fills our heart. That we're not chasing after things that don't fit with my happiness. We have to be people who study because there's no contradiction between the Jesus who's revealed in the scriptures and who's here with us in the Eucharist and the God who made the universe. God made our minds to glorify him. And so if we're going to be mature Christians, we have to use our minds to know God more deeply and to let his truth enter into every part of my life. When we pray and when we study, we begin to see the parts of our life that we need to give over more fully to Jesus. The parts of our life that are not in accord with his will and his love. And so these marks, these first two marks, are about us becoming better disciples. They're about you and me becoming more fully alive, more fully the men and women that Jesus made us to be. Okay, where are we? The third one, that's right. The third mark, the third aspect of a mature disciple is someone who does works of mercy. In just a few weeks, we're going to begin the year of mercy that Pope Francis has called us to live. December 8th, we'll start the year of mercy. One of the marks of a disciple, of a mature Christian, someone who can bring the mercy of God into the world. A lot of times we do this through charitable works, through helping at a soup kitchen, or through helping out the homeless. The pro-life ministry is a great way to do this, helping women who are struggling with the challenge of an unthought of pregnancy, helping people who are in need and that the Lord has put us in their path, in their life. A mature disciple is on the lookout for works of mercy. I think one of the most basic ways a lot of us do this is through monetary donations, through, you know, contributing to a charitable organization. Here's my plug for Awaken when Bill comes at the end. No, I'll leave that to him. Yeah. But the works of mercy are a way to show God's love is boundless. God's love reaches us wherever we are. God isn't waiting for us to become perfect to receive his love, but he wants you and me to be ministers of his love, to reach out to those in need, to be people who bring the mercy of God into the world. Friends, we can only do this if we have received God's mercy first, if we know God's mercy in our life, if we know how undeserving we are of God's incredible love, how reckless and gratuitous his love is for me. If we don't understand that yet, there's no way we can reach out in mercy to those who are homeless, to those who are poor, to the horrible driver who cut me off on the way here. Sometimes those are the hardest people to be merciful to. I always want to cut them off again to show them. But that doesn't build up the body of Christ, and I know that. That the works of mercy have to begin with us knowing God's mercy. And God's mercy is never opposed to the truth. You know, St. Paul says in that Ephesians chapter, we live the truth in love. And so God's mercy begins with that understanding that we're fallen and that without him, without you, Jesus, we can't make our way back to the Father. And so we never compromise the truth that God calls us completely. And God calls for a total radical conversion, radical changing our mind and giving ourselves over to him. So when we are touched by God's mercy, we can become disciples of that mercy. We can live that mercy with those we meet. Mercy in our homes, mercy in our workplaces, mercy in our cities and our schools. We have to know God has freed us, and we know that most powerfully through the sacrament of confession. That there is where I meet Jesus' mercy face to face, and I hear the words, your sins are forgiven. As a priest, it's such a joy to hear confessions, and it's such a joy to go to confession too. To know that I can receive that same mercy God uses me to be an instrument of dispensing. So the third mark is to do the works of mercy, to help those in need. And I truly hope that your Advent plans, your plan for preparing for Jesus' coming at Christmas, include at least one work of mercy, one reaching out to someone. There's a lot of impersonal ways to do this. Like church giving trees are fantastic and financial contributions are wonderful and needed. But I hope there's an opportunity for you to have a face-to-face encounter of a work of mercy. For you to interact with someone and to share God's love that he has put in your heart and to pour that out to them with mercy. And the fourth one. So maybe you're saying, hey, Father Steve, I pray. I study, I do these works of mercy, I'm doing great. All right, here you go. Here's your challenge. The fourth mark of a mature disciple is to make other disciples, to share the love of God, not in an abstract way, but in a direct way, Jesus Christ, with others. We're blessed to have St. Paul Street Evangelization hanging out here as you came in. Maybe they talked to you, or maybe you kind of crawled against the wall to get away from them as you came in the church. But they're a concrete way that they share Jesus with others. If we're people who pray and who study and who know God's mercy, how crazy would it be for us not to want to share that with others? How selfish would it be, really, if I said, I've received this great gift, and I know so many people in need of it, but it might make me a little bit uncomfortable, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. St. Paul Street Evangelization has a lot of practical ways for you to share this with others. And again, we're entering Advent in a couple of weeks. I'm going to challenge you to find one opportunity in Advent to find someone who you know doesn't know the Lord. At work, at school, people you meet on a day-to-day basis, and to look for a way to share Jesus with them. Each of us should have some way of sharing a personal story about what God has done for them, what God has done for you. You know, one of the stories I think about in my life, how the Lord has called me, was the invitation he gave me to the priesthood, that I had never thought of being a priest when I was younger. And when I got into college and was praying and I felt the Lord calling me to the priesthood, I was terrified because I thought that would rob me of the joy I wanted to have in life. But once I gave that part of my life over to him, I received a whole new kind of joy that I never would have had if I didn't trust him with my life. And so because Jesus offered me this invitation and he gave me the grace to accept it, I know him in a profoundly deeper way, in a much more incredible experience of intimacy with the Lord. I hope the Lord has touched your life in some way. And part of your prayer can be to think about one experience, one encounter you've had with Jesus that you can share with someone else. The deepest and most complete mark of a mature disciple is someone who is willing and able to share Jesus with others. For some of us, that's the most uncomfortable thing in the world. It's the scariest thing in the world to do. But we just got to try it. If we love Jesus and we know what he has done for us, then we got to reach out and invite others to know him. This past week, we've seen a lot of horrible things. The bombing in Paris and other events around the world that kind of got overshadowed by that, these horrible acts. And we know how deeply our world is in need of knowing Christ. How far countries that were once full of Christians, had a tremendous Christian culture, how far they have fallen from knowing Jesus, from letting him be an active presence, the driver of their communal life. Brothers and sisters, God does not want it to be that way. He wants us to bring him into these public spheres. He wants us to bring him into our personal life, our family life, our community, and our country. But we can only do that if we're willing to share him with others. So friends, that's what it means to be a mature disciple. To be men and women who pray, who study, who do works of mercy. Almost forgot that one. And who are willing to share him with others. So in this time of silence we have now, I just invite you to bring all that to the Lord and ask him to show you how you can enter more deeply into that maturity so that we together, as mature disciples, can build up the body of Christ and to make his love known more perfectly. Amen.